Attention,
a voice began to call, and it was as though an oboe had suddenly become articulate.
Attention,
it repeated in the same high, nasal monotone.
Attention.
Lying there like a corpse in the dead leaves, his hair matted, his face grotesquely smudged and bruised, his clothes in rags and muddy, Will Farnaby awoke with a start. Molly had called him. Time to get up. Time to get dressed. Mustn't be late at the office.
Thank you, darling,
he said and sat up. A sharp pain stabbed at his right knee, and there were other kinds of pain in his back, his arms, his forehead.
Attention,
the voice insisted, without the slightest change of tone. Leaning on one elbow, Will looked about him and saw with bewilderment not the grey wallpaper and yellow curtains of his London bedroom, but a glade among trees and the long shadows and slanting lights of early morning in a forest.
Who's there?
Will Farnaby called in what he intended to be a loud and formidable tone, but all that came out of his mouth was a thin, quavering croak. There was a long, and it seemed profoundly menacing, silence. From the hollow between two of the tree's wooden buttresses, an enormous black centipede emerged for a moment into view, then hurried away on its regiment of crimson legs and vanished into another cleft in the lichen-covered ectoplasm.
Who's there? He croaked again.
There was a rustling in the bushes on his left, and suddenly, like a cuckoo from a nursery clock, out popped a large black bird, the size of a jackdaw, only, needless to say, it wasn't a jackdaw. It clapped a pair of white-tipped wings and, darting across the intervening space, settled on the lowest branch of a small dead tree, not 20 feet from where Will was lying. Its beak, he noticed, was orange, and it had a bald yellow patch under each eye, with canary-coloured wattles that covered the sides and back of its head with a thick wig of naked flesh. The bird cocked its head and looked at him first with the right eye, then with the left, after which it opened its orange bill, whistled 10 or 12 notes of a little air in the pentatonic scale, made a noise like somebody having hiccups, and then, in a chanting phrase, do do sol do, said,
"Here and now, boys, here and now, boys."
The words pressed a trigger, and all of a sudden he remembered everything. Here was Pala, the Forbidden Island, the place no journalist had ever visited. And now must be the morning after the afternoon when he'd been fool enough to go sailing alone outside the harbour of Rendang Lobo. He remembered it all, the white sail curved by the wind into the likeness of a huge magnolia petal, the water sizzling at the prow, the sparkle of diamonds on every wave crest, the troughs of wrinkled jade. And eastwards, across the strait, what clouds, what prodigies of sculptured whiteness above the volcanoes of Pala. Sitting there at the tiller, he caught himself singing, caught himself incredibly in the act of feeling unequivocally happy.